So, you carry on, eh? Everything should be offered to the spiritual master as a matter of duty, but the offering should be made to the spiritual master with heart and soul, not artificially to gain material prestige. This offering is called apana. Moreover, one should live among devotees, saintly persons, to learn the etiquette and proper behavior of devotional service. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur remarks in this connection that whatever is offered to the spiritual master should be offered with love and devotion, not for material adoration. Similarly, it is recommended that one associate with devotees, but there must be some discrimination. Actually, a sadhu, a saintly person, only in his behavior. Sadhava, tat achara. Unless one adheres to standard behavior, one's position as a sadhu, a saintly person, is weak. Then, sadhu must completely adhere to the standard of behavior. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that a Vaishnava, a person initiated into the Vaishnava cult, should be offered the respect befitting a Vaishnava, which means that he should be offered service and praise. However, one should not associate with him if he is not a fit person with whom to associate. Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
People told me that here in Malaysia, the leaders don't understand about taking shelter of the guru. Here it gives a different steps. Guru padasvayastasmat krishna dikshadi shikshanam visramdena guru seva sadhu vartmanu vartanam. So guru padasvayas, taking shelter of the lotus feet of the spiritual master. This is the first step. Tasmat. Then Krishna Diksha. Adi. Then Shiksha. So that before one takes initiation, one is supposed to be under the shelter of the guru, and it's a practical test of the disciple's ability to follow the orders of the guru, of the efficacy of the orders and service of the guru for helping the disciple, like a trial run. It's a time of testing before the initiation. The guru tests the disciple to see whether the disciple is sincerely interested in Krishna consciousness and will follow the instructions. Prabhupada said, no use to take a guru like a show bottle. Sometime in the pharmacy store, they got one big Dettol bottle or Boroline or something, but it's just to show people, to advertise. If someone wants to advertise, I have such and such guru, or I'm initiated, but they don't follow the guru, then it's only for show. It's not actually going to produce any results. So the guru should see the disciple is going to follow, and disciple should see that by following the guru, I'm also advancing. Now, so that has been established as a step in ISKCON called guru shelter. Shelter's translation of asraya. So that's why before somebody actually it comes for initiation, they should first be recommended for shelter, so that the guru can also get in. They should meet the guru, and the guru should meet them, and if possible should there be some communication or some, just so they can see if there's some relationship is there. I know one case where somebody took a shelter of the guru And then that guru chastised the disciple. Then the disciple said, well, I don't want this guru, it's too heavy. So then switch to somebody else. But better they do that before they're initiated, right? I'm not judging whether maybe the guru was too heavy. I don't know that. But I mean, you know, this thing might happen. So better they have this opportunity beforehand to experience what it's like to be under the shelter of a guru. So shelter means that it's practically just like being initiated, but it's, you can still switch. There's an escape clause. But once you take initiation, then you shouldn't, you see, reject the guru. That's the point. Unless the guru is completely, you know, off the devotional track and a non-devotee, like develop some demoniac nature, the one that doesn't have a reason to reject guru. Rejecting guru is a very big offense. There's like 50 verses about never rejecting one's guru in the Jiva Goswami's Bhakti Sandarbha. And then there's about 5 verses when you can't reject the guru. That under very extreme circumstances. Not just like, oh, I don't like him, sorry. Not like that. So because it's such a serious matter, therefore first you have this guru shelter step. And what's been happening, of course, in Malaysia and some places are, not only Malaysia, but to the Indian-based, with more Indian origin practice. Once people decide, okay, I want him as my guru, it's kind of just like accepted. But there's a system, and this was done in India millions of years before, thousands of years, so there's a system of mutual testing. Of course, in ISKCON, you get the circumstance where the guru doesn't directly, I mean, sometimes the guru is not able to directly train the disciple. Usually it's like that. Usually it's through the disciples of the guru or the temple president, temple commander, maybe even other godbrothers of the guru. So that way the guru gets a recommendation. If the guru is personally training, then he doesn't need a recommendation. He could directly see whether the disciple is qualified or not. But it is gone because a lot of the training is done by others. So we have a system that they should be recommended. So that's for the guru, the testing. He's getting the recommendation. So his testing is done by others. If the disciple is feeling good in their relationship, in the devotional service, then that's also their way of testing. But should be some communication, ideally. So anyway, that's the first step of Guru Padasray. Even if someone doesn't know who they want to finally take as a Diksha Guru, or if they really want, they can stay under shelter for a long time. For different reasons, not that Prabhupada had any doubt. Prabhupada wanted to become perfect disciple before initiation, so he waited 11 years. But again, it's up to, Prabhupada said, one has to ask for initiation. You could be under shelter of our guru for whole life and not ask for initiation. Guru doesn't approach and say, you know, you should take initiation. You see, if someone's under shelter, he might ask, you know, what is your idea, might ask. Asking is not the same, but just to find out, you have some, what their situation is. But it's up to the disciple to ask. Prabhupada said, first and second initiation, disciples should ask. And sannyas, the guru should ask. So also in ISKCON, a lot of times the devotees, they don't take, they wait a long time for a second. We'd like the devotees to get second initiation. We'd like them to be qualified to get second initiation. Of course, it's not essential to have second to get back to Krishna if they're illiterate or if they're not able to understand the philosophy so well, or that they just have basic understanding and simple devotees. Prabhupada said it's also okay if they only have first. But generally, for the devotees who are able to go deeper into the matter, we like them to get second. Then they should become qualified, study Prabhupada's books deeper, show that they are steady in the sadhana, and they can follow very carefully. So then that comes with this diksha. And siksha nam. These are the points that Lord Chaitanya had mentioned also to Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami put this down in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhas, the first things one needs. Vishwamdhena Guru Seva. Okay, that is not just that you take Guru and to get some instruction, but you also serve the Guru. And here it mentions things like helping, bathing, dressing, sleeping, eating and all that. I wonder how the Vikti's concept, you know, this whole thing is lost, because they want to connect with some former acharya. I met one devotee, he told me that no, now even I don't accept Prabhupada, no, I am accepting Rupa Goswami. Why? Right? If I can jump or go over one, I can go over anyone. You see, so once you start this jumping over process, you can become like kangaroo and you can hop everywhere and become very offensive. So we feel very strongly that in ISKCON we are in the proper understanding with Prabhupada as the founder acharya. He's the foundational primary shiksha guru. We all follow his teachings. At the same time, Prabhupada himself wanted a guru parampara system. He wanted that his disciples would be regular gurus, that their disciples would be his grand disciples. He said it. It was very clear. And all along in his books he said like that. The disciples in presence of the guru, they should initiate. But when the guru is not present, then they should also become gurus and initiate. Disciples. One GBC told me a few weeks ago that maybe in ISKCON soon we have to also start a Riktik system where the gurus will have Riktiks of senior disciples to initiate on their behalf. So they get already, because he said that probably was the idea that Prabhupada had, that in his presence let them already start to be like Siksha Guru and initiate on his behalf, follow the etiquette but get trained up, so then when he leaves they'll already have a, he can test them out, how they deal with people, how they are doing it. But they're not actually the Guru, Prabhupada was the Guru. But Prabhupada never had the idea that after his presence the system would continue. As we can see here from his book, it's very clear what is the role between guru and disciple. By serving their guru, like sometimes when we serve Maharaj because we're not really expert, he gives us a sauce, even as a god brother, it puts us in a track, you know. We need to, you know, have that practical guidance and practical interaction to some, it's ideal. Of course someone else say, well look, there were Prabhupada disciples who were initiated by male, didn't have the personal association. But this is also, that doesn't mean that's the standard in the future, because there are so many disciples had a personal association. I had it, many others had it, they had the opportunity to serve. Bhanu Maharaj had it, he was personally made by Prabhupada as a devotee. Prabhupada preached to him when he was Bhakta, I don't know what his bill or whatever, I don't know what he can say. Huh? He just walked by. That's why I was in Japan. Prabhupada went there, and I was printing the book with Dai Nippon. And that time, he's from actually Canada. And Vanamaras went to Japan to practice because his forefathers are Japanese, like Indian origin, he's Japanese origin. So he went there to learn Japanese and everything. And Prabhupada somehow pitched to him. He can tell his story better. You can ask him sometime. He stood by it, you know. And Prabhupada, he personally pitched him and took him along with him to India. First time Prabhupada came, the first time in 1970, when Prabhupada arrived in India, when I was there, Manu Maharaj was with him. He was like Bhakti to come along. So, you know, there is not that Prabhupada did preach to so many people and did make devotees and did guide directly devotees. And as the movement grew, then actually there was, he asked the older disciples to take this responsibility. Even he said GBC should be looked upon or should be like Siksha Gurus or be Siksha Gurus for devotees. So Prabhupada did have this system in his time that there would be many devotees helping the Diksha Guru in training. And so that system of serving Guru and serving even one's older godbrothers was something that Prabhupada had established. So, pardon? Yeah, I didn't pack my reading glasses. A Vaishnava, a sadhu, must completely adhere to the standard of behavior. And a Vaishnava, a person initiated in the Vaishnava movement, should be offered the respect befitting a Vaishnava, which means that he should be offered with service and prayers. However, one should not associate with him if he is not a fit person with whom to associate. In other words, if somebody becomes an envious person or fallen in their behavior, then we avoid our personal association. We may respect them as a Vaishnava from a distance, but not as a good to associate. But if somebody is a proper Vaishnava, he should be offered some respect. You see, there's a proposal being given to the GBC that in ISKCON they've stopped, you know, this reception for any Vaishnava. They'd rather to make that all Vaishnavas, senior Vaishnavas, should get reception, not just the Diksha Guru, and have a system of respecting and befitting respect to the devotees. You don't know what it goes through, but definitely one is to offer the Guru respect, but one is also to offer all Vaishnavas respect, at least through service and some prayers, etc. When we went to see Lalita Thakur with Srila Prabhupada, who was the brother of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And Prabhupada told me that whenever you see him, he's senior Vaishnava, and he's like on level of my guru, although he's not directly our guru. So he just give a donation. So he gave at least 50 rupees. In those days, 50 rupees was more than it is now. This is something, you know, you should give some. So every time I went, I always give 50 rupees. The Prabhupada's instruction. So like the idea when I find that in Malaysia and in Bangladesh, devotees, they tend to give some donation to the sadhus. Even Bangladesh, poorest people, some old lady who's got a ripped sari, like an old widow. She's got her chain, her key tied to her sari, and a little at the end of the sari, use that as a weight, I guess, to hold the sari down over your shoulder. She'll take it out and untie it, open it inside there. She's got some paisa or one crumbled up, you know, taka note, 50 takas per dollar, you know, and give. Even she's very poor, but she gives something, you know, just like, you know. So they have the mood of doing service, whether it's a fruit or it's some money or something. That's actually their system. And I find like this system is there also in Malaysia. People do give their envelopes or give some donation or food or something. And that's actually the proper system to do some kind of seva, whatever, not necessarily money, but it could be money or it could be a Brahmin thread or it could be a fruit or it could be anything, cloth or something. And even offering service, like when we do prasadam feedings, sometimes the devotees invite someone to come. I know sometimes we went, they fed, like invite all the Vaishnavas. Then they'll give every Vaishnava, you know, like 5 rupees or 10 rupees or some little, or 1 rupee, something to do like a Vaishnava seva for everyone. I give everyone some prasadam. This idea of service to Vaishnava, it's a very good cultural program. It's part of our customs and part of our culture. Sometimes you find in India, mainland India, in different places, it's not always the same. Some places it's more, some places it's less. The service mood in some places almost disappeared. It's like when you go in the West, nobody has this custom, what to do. But in India, at least just give you a seat, give you a glass of water, give you sweet words. Any guest is supposed to offer that. So there are this culture of serving, and especially the Vaishnavas should be given a befitting service. So that's one thing I appreciate about Malaysia, is that this mood is still there. And it's a very good point. The Vaishnava should not demand to be served. And we should not demand, but we should, someone is worthy of being respected, then should be offered. It's not that somebody should demand. You must respect me, I'm a devotee. That's also not the etiquette to demand to be respected. But sometimes those who demand more are less qualified. If somebody is actually acting as a sadhu, has a proper behavior, then it's quite proper to respect a saintly person. So Prabhupada, he wanted all of the devotees, they should actually become sadhus. They should act in such a saintly manner. Sadhava sadachara. That they'll become holy. So that people, by serving them, they get blessed. What's the use of... See, somebody is dressed up like a sadhu, but they don't have sadachara. So then, people serve them, they get no benefit. There's nothing special about these people except for their dress. But if somebody's vegetarian, or taking Krishna prasadam, chanting, serving, they're doing sadachara. The sadhava, sadachara. It's a good little sloka to remember. Sadhava, sadachara. You want to be a sadhu, you have to have sadachara. Achara means behavior. Your behavior has to be sat, or spiritual, saintly. So somebody wants to be sadhu but they don't follow any regular principle, then it's very difficult. So, in this way, I remember one story how the bhakti, I mean, Gokishore Das Babaji, he was, you know, such a sadhu that So he found everybody is coming to him and wanted to serve him for some mundane reason. Gurudev, let me serve you, let me touch your feet, give me a blessing, my son can get a good wife, my wife can get a good, my wife can get a good son, my daughter can get married, my, you know, one time I was walking down the street in Silchar, in front of the Kunjib, some temple, Radhavinod temple, Radhabalava temple, and there was this man, this lady, offered her obeisances right on the street and crying, and she said, wow, it was like, what devotion. She tried to grab my feet, I had to jump back, you know, and then she said, please Gurudev, please, oh Gurudev, give me a blessing. She said, not my disciple, she just, you know, being respectful. And then she said, you know, well, what blessing you want? My son has got gastritis and he needs a blessing. He's got, you know, terrible ulcer pain. You know, she's begging for some, you know, medical ashirvad for her son's gastritis condition. You know, which, you know, I don't know exactly what mantra to give for anti-gastritis. As a Vaishnava, a sannyasi, we're supposed to give blessing to be Krishna conscious. But sometimes people, they're coming and, you know, they have all these mundane reasons why they want, you know, blessings. You know, even disciples sometimes come and ask, you know, some questions. The strength to cross over the guy, other problems, and remain Krishna conscious. It's not that the guru can provide all the solutions for all the problems, material problems. Even when we go to Prabhupada and they say, you know, I have this problem, he said, well, I'm not a, you know, you should see a doctor. You know, you should see a, maybe a psychiatrist, or you should see, for certain problems, you know, see a lawyer. If you have a legal problem, it's not that the guru will solve all these problems. But guru can help one to be Krishna conscious. In this material world, there's bound to be problems. How one can be Krishna conscious in the midst of this problem? That should be the question. I'm having this problem. And maybe within ISKCON there are certain things, at least, like I say, within ISKCON we should try to provide some social services amongst the grihasthas. Since we are a family and a community, it would, some essential things would be useful. But even when Prabhu comes with marriage problem, to the Prabhupada, he said, I'm a sannyasi, I'm not able to solve this problem for you. You should go to some senior grihastha godbrother. Now you've got grihastha uncles, grihastha senior cousin brothers, many other senior. Even a sannyasi is not supposed to get into this family problems. And also, even for helping in marriage, sometimes I, as a sannyasi, I'm not supposed to do it. Sometimes at least I say, well, such and such person is not married, seems to be a good devotee. But I cannot get into this qualitative, who's good or not, you know. They may have their criteria for what they consider to be a good match, based on many physiological and mental criteria, which is a sannyasi. I don't see people like that. I'm not supposed to analyze people based on their beauty or based on, I see them as a good devotee, and after that, someone else, if they want to get into that type of thing, then how can I cannot analyze, you know, apart from a very general way. So there's a limit, you know, I cannot get into all this detail, you know. Even this much I can say, I have such and such disciples not married, looking for, to be married, but now after that you can see whether you like or don't like or how they're compatible, and that we have our other people. As a sannyasi, I can't go into, you know, the details of how, whether your ruchi or your, you know, likes and dislikes and all that. So that way, there's a certain level at which Prabhupada used to go, and after that he said, I can't go beyond that. So we should be very clear what expectations one has of the Guru. You know, like Radha Prananath came up to me and said he wants to be the temple president because he thinks he's more qualified than who was the temple president. And then I said, you know, well, it's a council and there's a committee and you didn't have good dealings with the devotees, so I'm not sure I can support, you know, although you're doing good service. But then he was very dissatisfied that I didn't accept what he wanted, so he decided, you know, he would reject me. I don't like to mention names, but this is kind of all our own internal people here. But this is the kind of thing that I feel that scripture is saying, you know, not a valid reason to reject one's guru. And that the role of the guru really to say who's president or who's not. In situations like this, now there's a move that over the coming years, months or years, I don't know how quickly it goes, that especially gurus who already, you know, have many disciples should be less involved in hands-on management. And I personally endorse that too, because of all these type of problems. And also I want to see the younger general leaders coming out. My own proposal on it is that the GBC gurus should be in a more of an advisory leadership role, and zonal management should be under another echelon of leaders, preferably. But this is the kind of problem you have here, that you're not supposed to reject Guru, you're supposed to serve the Guru with love and faith. But then people have all kinds of expectations, they put all kinds of false or just the wrong material motive for approaching a Guru. And then if they don't get what they want, then they say, well, I'm going to reject the Guru. And this is a very harmful thing for their spiritual life. And that's what Prabhupada specifically said here. That Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur remarks in this connection, whatever is offered to the spiritual master should be offered love and affection, not for some material adoration. So when we do the offering, arpanam, we offer our service. It's not the way I'm offering my service, so therefore I need to get this or that. Guru wants to see everybody develop to their full potential. I know how Prabhupada Vishnu Maharaj, he's very much concerned that all his disciples fully develop to their full potential. And I'd like to see every devotee in ISKCON get an opportunity to develop in service and responsibility to their full level of their capacity. That's why we thought Bhakti Viksha groups was an opportunity for giving many devotees a chance to develop and service and surrender. There could be so many other ways. So, I just wanted to say that whatever Prabhupada said here, you can take it to a very practical level. You can see it in our own day-to-day spiritual life. We also need to deal not only with our Guru, but with all the Vaishnavas, learn the proper Vaishnava etiquette. We should have some regular course on Vaishnava etiquette, how to behave with each other. This is a very important thing. Lord Chaitanya said if one doesn't know Vaishnava etiquette, they cannot develop love for Krishna. It's right in Chaitanya Charitamrita. I wanted to find that, but I was shocked when I saw it. Such a serious thing. What else do we want but love of Krishna? So we don't know the Vaishnava etiquette, we cannot develop love of Krishna. Well, you know, sometimes people do things and they're not, you know. I mean, you see devotees stepping over other people's prasadam plates and doing all kinds of, you know, just kind of like a bull, just, you know, going and doing things without much sensitivity. I'm sure even they do these things somehow because they're chanting and that they're making some advancement. But they need to be taught the finer levels of Vaishnava behavior and etiquette. And, you know, if we can establish that proper Brahminical training in Malaysia, we have, you know, here we have one of our active Brahmanas doing samskaras. We should have many people know how to do samskaras, people know what is the proper etiquette. And then this way, it'll be very nice. Maharaj is telling me something. What's wrong with your wife? Okay. I thought you wanted to make a bid on the new land. Any question? Any comment, Maharaj? What do you think? Yes, sir. It's not growing. It's not that it's very much growing. That's their propaganda. Just like they said that 400 people, 500 people came to Port Dixon. But our spy went said there's 30 to 50. Like that, they're making big propaganda, but that's. But you know, spreading envy or spreading, you know, like they look for someone who's frustrated. They tell them, yes, your frustration is right. Just like they found Radha Pranayanath, he was frustrated. So they told him, why you don't do it? You're frustrated because anyway, you know, gurus, the thing is that there's not any practical philosophy. They try to say no gurus are bona fide. All gurus are fallen. Whole guru system was wrong. And so on and so forth. And so then they go like this in a negative way. So they try, that way they, to destroy faith is easier than to make faith. What do you think? Is it easier to criticize somebody or glorify somebody? I mean, just in general, you know, the whole world is that all newspapers criticizing people, right? It's very hard to glorify somebody. So building up faith is something takes over a long period of time. So that's why one of the best protection against this is that we see that the devotees are cared for. Sometimes there's some devotee who feels neglected or feels frustrated for some material reason. And then they take it out on the guru. Or these people go say the real reason you're suffering is because your guru doesn't love you. Or your guru's not one of, or they put something and so then devotees get doubtful. Or they just lie. They tell lies. Like anything. It's like Hitler. He would tell so many lies and give a false propaganda. That's how he was successful in Europe. He would, initially they said, no, we are not victim. We are not believing all. That's what Adi, I came in for. He said, I'm a victim. Now he's the chairman of the victim. So they can, to get their model, they use the Machiavellian, the end justifies the means. They know Prabhupada said don't go to court. But then they say, what to do? He says, to please Prabhupada, we're going to court. Some of that. But that's not like they're making. They had a big meeting in Alachua, and they tried so many people. 16 people came from the 600 devotees in Alachua, 16 came. And most of them came just to see. They had a center there, the head of the center was one. Swami, now he's Vihasta and he's left Rikticism. He says, and they shifted, they closed the center and they said now they're going to make a, they said well they shifted it to New York. Shifting means they closed it. No. That means they had no one to maintain it, or they had to shift it. They said no one to maintain that one. If we shift the center from Ipoh to Johor Bahru, what is that? I mean, so this all, you know, they are called twist master. They know how to twist the thing and present it. Oh no, we didn't close, we shifted. So that, I mean, we can discuss this today, but it's not, but what we have to do is educate devotees properly, what to expect from Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is not going to provide them birth to death, everything they need. We should at least those sadhus who want to be in a dependent devotees, It should be very clear what they can expect. Now, same way we should get the health insurance or whatever it is, so that we don't have, you know, we can always at least give the minimum thing. They get prasadam, they get service, they get their help. Things like that we can provide. For those who are the sadhus and those who are depending in the society. Otherwise, people who are self-sufficient, what they can expect, all these things should be very clear. Sometimes people are getting a false expectation. And then they get frustration. And then frustrated people are, okay, so we have to take prasadam. He's having question marks, what can I do? Okay, yes.
There are so many people that in this world, Krishna only loves the clarified butter, right?
He only loves the clarified butter.
So many things. It's not that morning.
Where does it say he only likes clarified butter? He loves the cows. And he loves the cows. And as a baby he takes the butter. Yes. Because he loves the cows. And he loves the cow products are very good. Even my Ayurvedic doctor told me that even someone with heart condition, he can take 3 teaspoons of ghee as it keeps the arteries lubricated. Which is against the allopathic idea. But he says that a little ghee is good. But butter is not. But little ghee is good. So anyway, ghee is like a very good. Maharaj himself will testify that ghee is very good. Yes, no, no, he's asked for it. You're going with me, you can ask anything. Yeah. Yes? Take, start lining up here, get the prasad. While we're answering, you'll get lined up. Yes? Usually within ISKCON people are not rejecting Guru and taking another Guru. That's almost unheard of. But sometimes one may find that they're getting more help or more faith from another Guru than their Diksha Guru. They can accept the other Guru according to Vaishnava etiquette and tradition with blessing of the Guru as a Siksha Guru. Even they can have shelter of that Guru and be offering their service through that Guru. But there's no need, if their Guru is bona fide, why should they reject? Why shouldn't they reject a Guru? One may, for practical reasons or for personal faith or something, have a Siksha relationship that may be subordinate. Usually it's subordinate to one's Diksha Guru. One may have many Siksha Gurus, but Diksha Guru is usually their primary. In some case, it may be that even a Siksha Guru could be with a in a more prominent situation. But one shouldn't reject the Diksha Guru if he's one of them. So in this kind, that's our official policy. We don't reject one of them Diksha Gurus. And if those who do that, they're in really shaky ground. We try to... I know a case of one devotee who has this kind of a condition. Not that wants to really reject, but really doesn't feel... took initiation but feels more faith in someone else. So I've been recommending to that devotee to accept the other Guru as a Siksha Guru, and the Guru has given her permission to accept the other Guru as a Siksha Guru and as a shelter. So it's going on like that. Okay?
Okay.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.